13 and 14. It came even to pass as the trumpeters. I like to play the trumpet, so I like that part. Amen. As the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Watch. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." That then, everybody say that then, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Let me tell you something, that if you want to get me to shut up, I can tell you how to make it happen. Allow the atmosphere to be set where the glory of God is manifested. Amen. In such a way that verse 14 takes place, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. The Bible says no flesh will glory in his presence. Let me tell you what needs to take place, and I'm going to give you my message from the outset. The atmosphere needs to be set for the glory to appear. And I want to preach on this title: When our voice becomes one.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. When our voice becomes one. If I would subtitle it, setting the atmosphere for the glory of God. Jesus, God, I ask, Lord, that you would help me today. Lord, I felt quickened in my spirit to preach this message. God, I know, Lord, that you want to speak to someone's heart. And Lord, you're challenging this church because you're moving us in a direction. You're taking us places that we've never been before. And God, we need you now more than ever in our lives. We recognize our need for you, our reliance upon you. And God, I pray right now that you help me, Lord, as I preach your word. God, I recognize who I am, and I recognize I cannot do this without your help, but also recognize when your anointing falls, God, that you help me to preach your word. So God, I ask for your anointing right now. I ask for your help. Help me, Lord, to say something today, Lord, that's going to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When our voice becomes one. You and I both have a choice today as to what part we will play in this service and in services to come. If you've been around here for any length of time, you know that we are to praise the Lord. But you may have some questions today that hopefully I am going to answer. Questions like, when do I praise the Lord? The Bible tells me in Psalms 113 and verse 3, from the rising of the sun unto the setting going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. When do I praise his name? When am I supposed to praise? How about when the sun comes up until the sun goes down? How often do I praise his name. Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. Who should praise the Lord? Psalms 117 and verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. All nations, all people. Psalms 150 lets us know in verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. I know I'm in territory you're all familiar with. Look to your neighbor, ask him, are you breathing? Look to him if they're snoring, slap them and say, quit breathing so loud. Let me tell you today, before he culminates, the psalmist, at who is to praise the Lord. Before he ever gets to verse 6 that says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Before he ever gets there, there are other questions that he answers. The first one he answers is, where should I praise the Lord? You ready? This is too familiar. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. This is not so familiar. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Let me ask you a simple question. Where is the firmament of God's power? Let me get that straight. Where is the firmament of his power? I'll tell you exactly where it is. It is everywhere on this earth is the firmament of his power. So guess what? No matter where I am, I have a duty to praise ye the Lord. But you ready? He is everywhere. But his glory is not manifested everywhere. If I want the firmament of his power to be if I want the firmament of his power to step into my situation, to step into my home, to step into my life, to step... Praise ye the Lord, because the firmament of his power is manifested in our praise. That's why he told his people, I will inhabit the praises of my people. That doesn't negate the sanctuary. Let me tell you, this should be the easiest place there is to worship. This should be the easiest place there is to praise the Lord. This should be the easiest place when we come together, when we begin to magnify the Lord together, when we begin to exalt his name together, when we begin to sing about his goodness and sing about his greatness and sing about his love. I couldn't help but break out of the tears when I started singing, my God is awesome. When I started thinking about just how good he is, how he heals me, how he delivers me, how he saved me, how he helped me. When I began to sing about that, something began to happen as I began to lift my hands towards heaven. Something began to take place. So we know now when to praise the Lord. We know how often to praise the Lord. We know who should praise the Lord, and we know where to praise the Lord. So then, why do I praise the Lord? Verse 2 tells us, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Why do I praise him? Because he's awesome. Psalms 106 and 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is all the time. For his mercy. You know why? There's something inside of me that can't stop praising. Because I know where I was. I know what I've done. I know the need for his mercy. I know his mighty acts in my life. I know his excellent greatness in my life. I've felt his mercy. I've experienced it. And something inside of me says I've got to praise him. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'm laying a foundation. Everyone, I'm getting somewhere. So he tells us, he not only tells us, why do I praise him? He also tells me, how do I praise him? Do you want to know how I praise him? I praise him with the sound of the trumpet. I praise him with a psaltery and harp. I praise him with a timbrel and a dance. I praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. I praise him upon the loud cymbals. I praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. How do I praise him? I praise him through myself. I offer to him the sacrifice of praise, being the fruit of my lips. That's why the psalmist said, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I could spend a whole lot of time here. But let me reiterate what he said in Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise. Let's take the word ye out of there, because that's old English and it doesn't sometimes sit well. Let's put it into English terms. You praise the Lord. You praise the Lord. You ready? Don't worry, I'm building something here. I'm gonna get somewhere. I know I'm in territory you're all familiar with. But I'm going to get somewhere, because I believe I have to lay this foundation to get where we're going. I'm going to tell you that no place in the Bible does it teach to wait till I feel something or wait for something to happen before I praise the Lord. I don't wait to clap my hands because I feel something. I don't wait to raise my hands because I feel something. I don't wait to dance because I feel something. I praise him because he said to, and then. The Bible does not teach to wait for something to happen before I praise him. But everywhere in the Bible tells me that if I praise the Lord, something will happen. If I exalt him, if I magnify him, if I lift him up, if I praise him, he will show up. If I begin to worship him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, if I begin to give him every bit of my strength, let me tell you what will happen. The God of glory, who is already among us, will show his glory. I found over 100 times in the Bible where we are told to praise the Lord. So let me ask you this simple question. Are you a thermostat or a thermometer? Both have to do with temperature. But one waits for him to feel, and the other sets the atmosphere. When I'm cold, I don't say, let's get out the thermometer. I say, no, I don't know what the temp has to be, but I know this. I know what I want it to be. And so I walk up to my little machine and I go ding, 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 ding. And it gets so hot and stuffy in there that my wife goes over to the machine. Ding, ding, ding. One of the most dangerous things in a church is that thermostat back there. I've seen churches put locks on them. I've seen churches put dummy thermostats. Because people always want, because I'm hot, I put it up. And because I'm cold, I put it up. And you've got 90 people in here. Somebody's not going to be comfortable. But let me tell you, I got to put all that aside because it's not about my personal comfort. I want to be a thermostat that sets the atmosphere where God can move. Let me tell you, if I'm not praising, if I'm not worshiping, if I'm not magnifying God, if I'm not glorifying His name, guess what's not happening? His glory doesn't show up. Well, I'm praying that every single person in here decides, I'm going to be a thermostat. And I'm going to drive that temperature up. I'm going to put that temperature up. I'm going to get it hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And when a person walks through these doors, they begin to feel something. Say, wait a minute. I've never felt the glory of God like I feel it here. I've never experienced the glory of God like I've experienced here. I've never felt this before. I want this. I need this. Whatever you all have, I've got to have it too. But that happens from a church who sets the atmosphere. It was during the Exodus from Egypt that the children of Israel came to the Mount Sinai. They were a newly freed group of people, and God said, I want to make sure you know who your God is. He said, I want to make sure you live right before me. And it was here that Moses spake unto them the words of the Lord. But it is their response that I want you to grab a hold of today. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 3, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And the people answered with one voice. Moses said, this is what needs to take place. Moses says, this is what needs to happen. Moses said, this is how we need to walk. This is how we need to live. This is what God requires. This is what God wants. And the people with one voice said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. There was something in their unity. There was something in their voice. It was not one person here and one person there. It came as one sounding voice. Watch, I'm going to get somewhere. One sounding voice. You're talking 4 million people in one voice saying, all this we will do. It was from that declaration as one voice that brought about Exodus 24, verse 16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I want you to understand what took place. The people with one voice said, we will do what God says. And God's glory shows on the mount as a devouring fire. Let me tell you, when the church as one voice says, God, we will do it. We will follow you. We will obey your word. Our God is a consuming fire, but it's not to destroy people. It's to destroy the things that are destroying people. And those strongholds are broken when the atmosphere is set. And I hope you're all with me. If not, we're going to struggle here today. But that's not where it stopped. It was from this declaration of one voice that God gave Moses the plans to build the tabernacle. It was from this declaration of one voice that God spoke to Moses and said, this is how you build it. The Bible lets us know that it was some 480 years later that they began to build a permanent house for the Lord called the temple. It was simply the permanent structure of the tabernacle. And 1 Kings 6 and 1 says, it came to pass that in the 480th year the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt. In the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which was the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. In 1 Kings 6 and 37, the Bible lets us know that Solomon spent 7 years in building this temple. And it was at the completion that the Bible records my text today. It was at the completion of the building of the temple that we find the passage in 2 Chronicles, and it came to pass. As the trumpeters and the singers were as one, something began to meld in the hearts of the people. You've got to get this. Something began to take place to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that the house was filled with the glory of God. You want to know what I desire more than anything? This house to be filled with the glory of God. It's not about a man. This church will never be built upon me. It will never be built upon any single human being. What I have been told to do is to build upon the foundation that the Jesus built, that the apostles laid, that the prophets. But what I know God desires, just as he did with his physical house, the temple, God desires for his spiritual house, the church, to be filled with his glory. Plans were laid as a result of one voice 480 years previous. Before the temple was ever built, the plans were laid from one voice. And the glory of the Lord was manifest then. And here we are at the completion of the temple. And the Bible says, as the result of one voice, the glory of the Lord was manifested. I have one question. What would happen in the year 2014 if a group of people said, we will become as one voice and worship the Lord? What's going to happen when we, as a church body, say we're one voice? See, something happens when, you guys have been to a symphony before, right? Matter of fact, I'm going to jump there. I'm going to get here. Let me just get here right now. We know this passage, Matthew 8, 18. Watch this. This is so powerful. At least it was to me. You may not think so. If not, that's okay. I think it is, and it's working on me. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We believe in that power. I'm going to show you something. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, God's saying, I want my church to bind things and loose things. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I want you to understand something. He's in the midst because we're gathered together. But that's not where it happens. It happens when he says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. The word agree there comes from a word which means symphono. Symphono. The same word form that we get the word symphony. It means to be in harmony or accord, sounding together. It is when different voices come together to make one sound. You go to a symphony, and before they start, it's chaos. You have this one tuning up a little bit there, and you have that one tuning up a little bit there, and you have this one practicing this part, and this one practicing that part. But as soon as the conductor says, everything stops and they hit the note. And when they hit it, it sounds as one voice. A choir, when it's the best, sounds as one voice. Not, I hear this one over that one. I hear that one over that one. But it comes in unison. Let me tell you what happens when the church begins to praise the Lord in this same manner. When we begin to shout unto God and each one of us in our own voice, lift up praise and glory and honor to him. As a symphony coming together as one voice. Making one sound. There is nothing more powerful in a church that when every single person is actively participating in worship before God. I'm gonna be honest, there's nothing more powerful than that. I've experienced some things that just blow your mind. And let me tell you when it happens. When the people move in one voice. Oh, you don't believe me. I'm proving it to you. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were not just in the same place. That's not what brought the fire. The fire came when they were in one accord. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Everybody saying suddenly. It wasn't everybody. Let's try that again. And everybody saying and suddenly. We're getting there. I want you to hear that. It gets very hard to distinguish one voice from another voice when we say it together. It gets very difficult to distinguish one from another when each person, if we all would cry out in unison, Jesus. It gets very difficult to distinguish this voice and that voice. Why? Because we're speaking in unison, in one accord. And he said, if any two or three would agree, would come together as one, touching anything, it shall be done. That's what gives us the power to bind things and to loose things. It's when the church comes together as one voice. Let me tell you, that's when people come to an altar and they cry out before God and chains are broken.
Yes, amen.
And addictions are loosed.
Yeah.
And marriages are mended.
Right.
And homes are brought back together. And lives are changed. It's when the church has one mind and one accord that I'm going to entertain the presence of God. I don't care to entertain any of you, but I have come to entertain my God.
Lord Jesus.
And they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Let me tell you what was taking place. That glory that appeared to Solomon, that glory was appearing to the church. God is saying, there's only one way to get this. There's only one way to have this. There's only one way to find. Why was Topeka, Kansas so special? And why was the Azusa Street Revival so special? I can tell you exactly why. They were in one accord. Why did it stop? Because they left one accord. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them. I don't know, watch. Verse 6 tells us, and when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Now, from the sounds of this passage, it makes us think that they weren't running out and telling people. They noised it abroad. They ran around telling people, check what's happening out here. Check what's seeing here. But watch, I read this out of the New King James Version. And when this sound occurred, what did they hear from outside of there? Look, I'm going to tell you, those people, those 120, were not running around telling everybody, look what I just got. They were speaking in other tongues. They were being filled with the Holy Ghost. But there was a sound that was emanating, that was running from that place, that was heading out. And when this sound occurred, the multitude who was gathered on the outside heard what was happening, and they came running. There, they heard one voice. They heard a roar. I'm closing. I'm getting ready to close. I just heard about this, and I heard someone say this, and I'm going to repeat it just to close up. The Seattle Seahawks, I believe they're the new Super Bowl champs. Am I correct on that? They have a group of people called the 12th man. Anyone ever heard of them? They're their fans. They set the record for the loudest applause in a stadium. They broke the Guinness Book of World Records with this applause that erupted out so loud. In doing so, they actually caused a slight tremor. In other words, the earth began to shake. The very thing the devil fears more than anything is a church that begins to speak and begins to worship and begins to praise and begins to entertain the presence of God with one voice. Let's stand. The devil don't like what I'm saying right now. He's trying to fight with every thought in your mind. He's trying to damper. And I'm not saying you have to be screaming at the top of your lungs. But this thing called worship and this thing called praise is not a spectator sport. It's active participation. Let me tell you what would happen if from this front row to the back row, on both sides of this building, we began to worship and magnify God with everything in our being. Sorry, they could do it at a stadium and break some kind of record. Now, we don't have the people here that we're going to make the noise that they made, and that's, I'm not even after the noise. But let me tell you, what God is wanting for His church, He is wanting for us to set the atmosphere where He can move. His glory, His presence is here. The only thing separating from it manifesting itself or not manifesting itself is us. I'm going to tell you, when I came up here today, I didn't feel anything. I didn't. When I walked over here to the piano and I'm pacing, I didn't feel anything. But I closed my eyes and I lifted my hands.
Right.
And I just began to worship God. And what happened next was the presence. presence of the Lord. Came and filled my spot. I began to feel his presence. And this is what I know. Many of you started to feel his presence because his presence started manifesting itself.
Yes.
Let me tell you, it wasn't because of me, any one of us.
Right.
But we have to become a thermostat that says, I come in to exalt the Lord.
Yes.
To magnify him, to glorify him, to sing to him, to lift my hands to him, to clap to him, to shout to him, to jump, to dance,
yes,
to cry, to worship.
Amen.
Let me tell you what happens. As you do, it starts leaving from an individual.
Yes.
And we'll start moving to where one begins to feel it, and the next one begins to get it, and the next one begins to get it, and before long, it becomes as one voice.
Yes, amen.
And I'm going to tell you, it's in that atmosphere. It's in that atmosphere. It's in that atmosphere that people run to an altar. They begin to cry before God. God begins to pull things. God begins to loose things. God begins to bind things. Why? Because now all of a sudden, we're touching. If I was an eloquent preacher, I could have probably done a better job at this and had you all shouting. But let me tell you, if there's one thing I desire more than anything, it's the glory of God to manifest itself in this place. God is wanting to send us people, multitudes of people. And they're going to come inbound. And they're going to come in trouble.
Yes.
And they're going to come in hurt. They're going to come in trouble. But when the glory of God begins to manifest itself, the ministers don't even have to do anything. Because it's all about him. And he begins to move. And he begins to draw. And he begins to bind. And he begins to loose. And his power is poured out. And his spirit is poured out. And people are filled with the Holy Ghost. People's lives are changed. Trying to get spooky or crazy or what. I want God to move. I want miracles. I want signs. I want wonders. I want an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And it happens when we become one voice.
Hallelujah.
All nations, all tongues, all cultures, all statuses. Let me tell you what heaven's going to be like. Heaven's going to have every nation represented there. Guess what the church needs to be? A representation of what heaven. When people of different cultures, of different lives, from different statuses, from different walks, can all come together as one voice, because we serve one God. And His name is Jesus. And so, I open up this altar at this moment. I wonder if there's some people who can come and say, I'm willing to touch. I'm willing to come together and agree. I'm willing to come together in one accord. I'm willing to come together as one group, as one voice.
Lord Jesus, Lord, you are so great, Lord. So great.
I'm done. You can choose right now. Are you going to be a thermostat? Are you going to wait and be a thermometer? I'll let you make that decision. But let me tell you, if you'll come and begin to get into the presence of God, begin to reach your hands towards Him, begin to open up your heart to Him, begin to talk to Him, begin to worship Him, begin to cry before Him, begin to pray to Him, begin to shout to Him. It will become as one voice. And God's presence, His glory.
Yes, amen.
Come, come. Come on, let's reach to Him right now. Let's reach to Him right now. Let's reach to Him right now.